it gonna take to make this song stop now, baby? Till it all burns down, till it all burns down. Listen, mama, know you're broken hearted, cause the piece you're hoping for.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to We Love No Other podcast from IlliniBoard.com. I am your host, Robert Rosenthal. We are coming to you live from my kitchen. I'm here with Tyler after the Rutgers game. And we just sat here talking about the game and figured we should probably press record so you can hear what we're talking about the game. Tyler, say hello to everybody.
Hi, all. Thanks for having me in your humble abode.
Yes, yes. We should have.
Why aren't we swimming?
Yeah,
it's like 55 degrees. We should be
out.
We
could get in the. Or we could do the hot tub. I did the splash bombs last year. What was it, splash takes? I forget what I called them. But yeah, that would be awkward. So let's talk. Let's talk the good mood we're in after tonight. So, let's just maybe recap everything since Marquette. So we play Marquette without Kofi. We have the Curbelo game where he's. Just in the second half, it all falls apart. We lose to Marquette. Then we go to Kansas City.
I was there for Marquette.
You were there for Marquette.
It was not pleasant.
Yes. We go to Kansas City. We're all confident. I'm tweeting things 8 minutes into the game claiming that both Bello and Kofi can outscore Marquette by themselves, or sorry, Cincinnati by themselves, and then we lose by 20.
You did delete that tweet though, right?
I deleted the poll. I deleted the poll, but I saved it. I deleted the poll because I didn't want it in existence for the second half because I just didn't want it out there. I wanted good vibes. But I made a screen cap of it before I deleted it so that I could own myself after the game, which I did. So it's still out there, just not in tweet form. So that game, we have everybody back, and we do that. Then we beat Kansas State, but Curbelo, we don't know what was happening. Trent gets hurt. We don't know how long he's going to be out. We're somehow 3-2. We're falling out of the polls. We come home to play UT Rio Grande Valley, and it's a 1-point game with 3 minutes to go. And we're all in this, like, what is happening? Half the team has the flu. There's a different guy out every game. There's 3 guys out this game, 4 guys the next game. It's just been a complete mess. Kind of get back on track with Notre Dame. And then tonight, I don't know about you, but tonight felt like, all right, that's what we're supposed to look like. Like, that's a top 10 team. Like, everything tonight spoke to us being a top 10 team.
Right. And that's what you get when you finally get to play 2 games in a row with the same players on the court. I think that tonight was the same lineup that they had at Kansas State. And it's been well talked about that he had to use 6 different starting lineups in the first 7 games. And in this current state of Illinois basketball without Andre Curbelo, you have to kind of find your way. And I think you saw some of that in Notre Dame, and you see more evolution of that tonight because you're playing a different style of basketball. And that first half is exactly what you wanted to see, that style of basketball, that limited ball screens. You're getting the ball inside. Kofi's passing it out. You're making the extra pass. That's how you play basketball without a true ball screen point guard. And, it's going to take some time for them to get connected to make that happen. And it was nice to see that happen in just a relatively short period of time after the disjointed start of the first few games.
And then every statistic that you want is there. Turnovers 10 tonight. What was Marquette, 26 or something like that? I mean, the turnovers are limited. 19-10 assist to turnover ratio tonight. 47 rebounds to 33. They've been a good rebounding team, but you have to dominate. 10 of 11 at the line, you make 12 threes, you hold Rutgers to 30% shooting, but as you and I talked after the game, you hold Rutgers to 14 for 51, is that what we
It was 27%, 14 for 51 from two.
14 for 51 from two.
And that's the difference in the game.
Yes.
If you look at, obviously the rebounding, but you mentioned the turnovers, you mentioned the offensive, the total rebounds, but the offensive rebounds were actually 13-13, and shot volume was pretty much even. Rutgers actually had 68 shots to our 66 shots, which, you know, that's when you get, when you're as good an offensive rebounding team as we are, you like to see the shot volume game in your favor. But Rutgers is also a good offensive rebounding team. They made some threes, but the difference in the game is that we were in the 60% category on twos, I believe, and don't quote me on that, but they were at 27%.
Yep. I want to look it up while we're talking about
they
this.
Were, I think we were 21 of 33 from two.
Wow. And that, I mean, you know, you would expect that to then be like, well, okay, well, Kofi must have done one of his 11 for 14 things, but no, he didn't. He's 4 for 8, you know, only scored 13. It was Plummer getting to the lane as you and I looked at each other in the middle of the game like,
he can do that?
Didn't know that was part of this.
That's fun and
okay,
new.
Yeah, let's actually pause there. Like, is he going to average like 18 points a game in the Big Ten? Like, what? Like, I don't... Is this for real? Like, I'm trying to figure out, like, what's he averaging? What, he had 24 tonight? So he was averaging, what, 25 the last three games or whatever? So, is he going to average 18 points a game? Like, I wasn't expecting this. I expected an assassin who's hitting threes. I was not expecting, you know, four straight games of, like, 30, 25, 24, 25 or whatever it is.
Yeah, it creates an interesting dilemma. I mean, it's kind of a situation where, yeah, you want him to, his role going into the season, he's going to be the spot up shooting assassin. But we've also seen him being able to put the ball on the floor and get and be effective in getting into the mid range and also getting all the way to the rim. But, and Underwood alluded to this a little bit in the post game, you can't really put him with the ball in his hands too much because that takes away from his ability to come off screens where he's really, really deadly. So he will be effective in the mid range when guys are running at him, but to make that head fake and get into the lane. But I don't think we're going to see him with the ball in his hands too much because it negates his most valuable skill. But if he's going to shoot 40% from three, then yeah, he's going to average in the teens in the conference. And so, I mean, obviously the Big Ten's a different animal and teams will, you know, everyone knows how difficult it is to grind it out because everyone knows everybody's stuff and every team, a team will call an offense out and the opposing team will say, this play is coming and they know exactly what's going on. So,
it's kind of funny we're saying that. And then I just had this like, oh wait, this is the Big Ten play.
Yeah. Right.
You know, like, you know, the Rutgers look bad, you know, they lost a lot and, you know, the Geo Baker's out. You know, like, we know that we should win this game. I don't think we expected 86-51. I don't think anybody expected anything like this. Here's what I want to do. We're going to play a little game, okay? You don't have the box score in front of you?
I do.
Okay, you got to spin it the other way.
Okay,
can't look. Play a game. You ready?
Yep.
I want to read you the stat line. You tell me the player.
All right.
Okay, you ready?
I will preface this by saying I have been looking at this box score for the last hour, so I think I'll do pretty well.
Okay. Here you go. 0 points. 0 shots. 0 threes. 0 free throws. 7 rebounds. And 1 block.
That was Omar Payne.
That was Omar Payne. No shots. No points. No anything. Kid, just get in there in the lane. Play defense. Grab 7 boards in 10 minutes. And one really, really great block on Paul Mulcahy. Okay, ready?
Yep.
2 for 4 from the field. All of them were threes. Also dished out 2 assists and had a foul in, I don't know how many minutes that was, 10 minutes off the bench.
That was...
It's a tricky one.
RJ Melendez?
No. 2 for 4, all of them were threes. 1 in the first half, 1 in the second half.
Oh, Luke Goody.
Yes, yes. What do you think he is? Like, is he, like, give me, you have a comp for him? Like, is he, you know, He's got red hair. We can call him Kevin Herter from Maryland. But like, who's your Illini comp for Goody?
My Illini comp for him when I wrote the preview was Aaron Jordan. Okay. Now understand that when I made those comps, I'm projecting the best version of that player, not what they're going to provide in their freshman year.
Yes.
But he's a guy who is 6'7". He, even though he wasn't great defensively tonight, Underwood got on him several times for some defensive lapses. But he has the build to develop into a good defender. He's already a good spot up shooter. He's a steady player. For a freshman to be such a cool, calm, collected guy, that's my Illini comp for him. Although, if my Big Ten comp for him, and again, this is projecting out to the ultimate ceiling for Luke Goody, was Joe Wieskamp from Iowa. I think I told you that he was hashtag R Wieskamp back when we first saw him in that early open practice that we did.
Yeah.
And, so again, he's going to be a solid 4-year guy. And I think, 10, 12 minutes a night, there'll be nights where he gets 10, 12 minutes. There'll be nights when RJ Melendez gets 10, 12 minutes. It's just going to be one of those things where, matchups will dictate that. But, you don't feel like nervous when he's on the floor like sometimes you do when you see freshmen out there in those situations.
Okay, here's the next one. And I'm doing some really quick research here because I believe I am correct. Okay, here you go. In the Notre Dame game, this player had 4 points, 5 assists, and 6 rebounds. Tonight, this player had 6 points, 5 assists, and 4 rebounds.
Yeah, that's Trent Frazier.
No, it is not. This player has had he's had 5 assists each of the last 2 games. One game he had 4 points and 6 rebounds. The other game he had 6 points and 4 rebounds. He's a power forward, but maybe he's a point guard, but maybe he guards the 2, but maybe he guards the 5. It is DeMonte. Is there a more DeMonte box score than 4, 5, 6, 2 straight games? Like, this is, 10 assists the last 2 games for a guy who, more or less plays, he's guarding the other team's 4 a lot. I mean, if we're talking comps, there is no comp for DeMonte. He's the strangest, most enjoyable player in a long time, just because nobody has these he only took 2 shots here, he only took 4 shots that game. It's so
when
so
Brad
weird.
Underwood retires from coaching and he inevitably gets asked of who his favorite players were that he coached over those years, DeMonte Williams will be on that list.
Yes.
He just does everything that Brad Underwood wants a guy to do for that role. And
it makes me think of the exhibition game at Eastern when he started DeMonte that game. And I remember in that little press conference he did, he said something like you saw it tonight of why I started him and why I've been talking about him in practice of he sees basketball the way a coach wants a player to see basketball. And, so it's just so funny that's Underwood's very, very first game, the exhibition. Here we are in year 5. DeMonte's still here and he's still doing stuff he's not going to be your leading scorer. He's not going to do this. He's not going to do that. But he'll hit 2 of 4 threes, and he'll put up a 4, 5, 6 stat line.
Not sure I want 6 shots a game from DeMonte, though.
Good point.
Couple.
Okay. 7 for 11 from the field, including 2 for 5. 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 16 points. Who am I talking about?
That's Jacob Grandison.
You are correct. If he plays like that, Jacob Grandison is like he's like a Swiss Army knife, right? I mean, he was absolutely everything.
He is the best guy to have in those situations in a game like that, because he's never going to be at the top of the opposing team's scouting report, obviously, but he's consistently going to give you 13, 14, somewhere between 8 and 14 points a night, because he finds his spots, and I don't know where he's at 3-point percentage, but he's got to be in the mid 40s at this point of the year.
Yeah. Has to be. Yeah.
And he even had a heat check. We had a heat, Jacob Granson heat check tonight, which didn't go well. But you know it's going. It's a Jacob Granson's night when he's putting up heat check threes. But
yep.
He just knows where to be. Guys know that he's going to spot up in the corner. And off those that horn set that we run, he's going to spot up at the top of the key, and he's just going to be there because he's not. People will forget about him.
Okay, so how? So we're talking about this stuff, right? And we're like, okay, yes. And he was Swiss Army knife, and he was this, and DeMonte is all everything, and you know Kofi's in the lane, he's unstoppable, and this and that. How is it that we went? What was that stretch? We went 7 for 40 in the Cincinnati game. Like how is it possible to look like this and to have all this stuff that we're talking about, and also have a game 10-11 days ago where we went 7 for 40 to close out the game?
I still can't process that Cincinnati game. I'm hoping that it's one of those anomalies that, you know, you see once, you know, Coach Henson used to talk about there are always 4 games a year you don't have control over. 2 on the positive side, 2 on the negative side. No matter what you do coaching wise, you make every 3-point shot, everything goes your way, you win by 40. There's always 2 games on the flip side too, that no matter what buttons you push, everything just goes wrong and you get beat. You get your ass handed to you. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that was the case. However, the segue, I think, is where we go and have the Andre Curbelo discussion. And I want to be careful. I don't want to go into his medical stuff. But whatever was ailing him in the first games of the season, Marquette and Cincinnati, that Andre Curbelo was a liability on the floor. And I think that is a large reason as to why that game turned like it did. Mm-hmm. Our best team is with Andre Curbelo playing like he did at the end of last season, but we're a better team today if that Andre Curbelo is not playing. And I don't say that lightly.
I know
but
what you mean. Yeah.
That's really the facts of it. He was just not good. I mean, in those 2 games, and that's the primary reason why those are L's in the column right now.
Yep. And again, I think you said it right. Like, we don't know what is going on. It's obviously something, and I think it's just smart to turn the computer off, turn it back on. Like, just, you know, let's just reset here. Let's make sure we're 100% healthy, 100%. Let's take our time, even if it means we struggle or this and that, because he's going to be so necessary in January, February, and especially March.
And it's going to be a real interesting little chemistry experiment when that happens, because obviously the style of basketball, offensively especially, that we have to play when he's not on the floor, as we talked about and what I posted in the last Rewind segment, is, you know, when Curbelo's on the floor, we're a ball screen oriented offense. When he's not on the floor, we are dump it into Kofi, spread the floor, and work inside out. And you've seen that evolution in just 2 games, as guys are getting more comfortable with that. And of course it helps when you shoot, you know, over 40-some% over the last 3 or 4 games, last 4 wins. And if that's the team that we settle into over the next, if it's, you know, a month before Curbelo comes back, if he comes in, and it's going to be a difficult transition. So it's just a real difficult way to kind of to view this moving forward.
Yeah.
Because the style of play that we run is so different with when he's on the floor versus when he's not.
Okay, I'm going to give you another one here. And
I literally turned the it's not like yes, I yes. literally turned the box score around for people. So I'm not lying here.
There's no cheating. I believe that you once had this box score. 0 points, 0-0, 0-0-0, 0 rebounds, 0 assists, 0 blocks, 0, 1 foul.
Paul McKahee, no. He was not much better than that tonight for Rutgers. How many minutes? Did you give me minutes?
3 minutes at the end. I don't think you ever had 3 minutes.
No.
Didn't you have a game where you had just 1 foul? You had 3 minutes?
Yeah.
In what game?
The first game I played, I believe. The Metro State game. But is that Brandon Lieb?
Yes, it is. It is.
You're going deep cuts on this box cover.
Yes, yes.
There's got to be a reason for that.
Yes.
Or are you just challenging me?
Yes, I'm just testing you. Well, really, I just wanted the Club Trillion thing so that we could talk about the Metro State game. Did you have a foul in, or you had a rebound in that game?
I have no official stats as an
owner. I thought you had a foul somewhere.
No, sir.
Oh, my gosh. You should have just hacked somebody in Metro State.
Believe me. had I had the foresight to understand what my
career box would be like
when I go into the Illini, the record book that I'm in, and I go there and I see those numbers, like, why didn't you have the foresight?
Just jack it up, go 0 for 1.
I mean, even a turnover, just get a 1 in some kind of column.
Okay, well then let's pause this game. Let's go to Metro State. So this is first game of 88. Like December of 88, because the season didn't start until like December 1st then.
Right.
So we're talking December of 88. You get in with how much, like 3 minutes to go?
Yeah, recollection is three minutes-ish.
And did you have an opportunity for, like, you know, you get the pass on the wing and you just could have jacked it up, but you pass it off?
Oh, no, I was terrified.
Yes.
That was, I mean, literally the first time I'd been in a game at any level of that capacity. And so the when the ball came to me, the first thing was in my mind was get it out of my hands.
Yes.
I don't want to make a turnover.
Yes.
I remember there were a couple of foul situations where I was on the free throw lane with an opportunity to potentially get a rebound or something along those lines.
Yep.
But no, the ball never made it. You know,
do you remember who you replaced when you came in to the Metro State game?
I do not recall. It was one of those wave substitutions, guys sitting on the edge. And Coach Henson was, in the moment, I don't even think at that point he knew who our names were. He just randomly pointing guys at the end of the bench and say, you go in there. You know, I don't think he was paying attention to who had played in the previous game or the previous time. So, no, it's just five guys waiting and five guys coming out.
I'm going to work on this with you. You need to start – you need to tell people that you replaced – well, you can't go Anderson or Gill. Let's go P.J. Bowman, because P.J. would have probably been in before the walk-ons came in.
P.J.
Right?
might have. There's always, like, because of the balance, like, there's always the one guy who is a regular minute. Just because the math doesn't work otherwise.
Yes.
P.J. might have been on the floor.
Okay.
I have to go back and look.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Because there were the two walk-ons that were E.J. and Chaplin, who were the walk-ons emeritus, who were the senior walk-ons, and they dressed every game.
Yeah.
And then it was usually two other walk-ons that would dress.
Uh-huh.
And so that was like four max of the walk-ons that were able to be in any given game. So
yes, yes.
I think PJ was probably out there.
Do you remember who came in with it? Was Steiny in that game? I'm asking you to remember 32 years ago.
30 years ago, right now. I mean, I had, you know, the funny thing is I had the record book with me in my bag tonight, and I decided to leave it at home because I always carry it with me. Like, why do I need this record book?
Mm-hmm. But
because I'm in it.
Do you have any photos or anything?
I have a really, really good photo, because in that Metro State game, and I can't remember if I told you the story or not before, one of my best friends from high school, who I grew up with, played Little League with, he was a scholarship player for Metro State.
Oh.
And so we were in the game together. I mean, talk about random. Here's two random players from Charleston, Illinois.
Yeah.
One team from Illinois and one team from Metro State in Colorado. And we come together on the floor for 3 minutes in front of 16,000 people. I mean, it's just surreal. I have a picture of him and me after the game, which is a really great photo, and it's a really good memory. Just the randomness of something like that happening from a town from Charleston who doesn't put guys into college very often. But it's funny you bring it up now, because I was having this. I had this crazy flashback, and I'll show you later. Another player on our high school team was named Jeff Geldner. He started. He was for the University of Kansas in their national championship year. He was one of the Danny and the Miracles.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the Miracles. He was the starter in the 1988 Kansas team that won the national championship. He is a dead ringer for Luke Goody. So you ask me who the comp is, it's Jeff Geldner. No one will know that name unless there are other player other listeners who happen to know Kansas University basketball history. But he's a redhead, 6'7". shooting guard kind of guy. He is a dead ringer for Luke Goody. That's my my Luke Goody comp.
You ready for the comps to just flow now?
Yes, yes, yes.
I looked up the score of the Metro State game. 86-55. Well, tonight was 86-51.
You got a box score?
I do. Here, I'll spin it around to you. I just found the box score.
Nice. Second half box.
This is great radio.
So that is, oh, that's second half only. So wait, box score. Well, so now I'm feeling slighted because I'm not in that box score.
Oh.
Right. So now they clearly have mislabeled me.
Yes.
But so if you go to Metro State, yep. Daryl Height, he was my best friend from one of my best friends from high school.
10 minutes for Daryl.
Yeah.
Got 7 points in that game. Hit a three.
Yeah.
Hit a couple free throws.
Mm-hmm. Well, now I'm going to have to talk to Ken Brown about this because uh-huh. I need to go back and find that footage and say, you've mislabeled. Uh-huh. You have Matt Schneider back getting my minutes.
And that's I was about to say, how do you pronounce his name?
That is not going to happen. I have slighted.
Oh, I love it. Oh, that's so good. Okay, anyway. All right. I'm going to close out of that. This is really, really great audio. Okay, one more. I'm going to give you one more.
From Metro State or from...
No, sorry. We're going back to tonight's game. Gosh, how does... Okay, 8 for 15, but 3 for 8 from 3.
Yeah, that's Plummer.
5 for 5 from the line, 3 rebounds and assist, 24 points.
So 24 points in the game. 15 of those were not from 3...
Correct.
From 3 points.
Yes.
Out, which so is incredible.
So he hit 9... Yes. That's where I was... That's what I was like... Yeah. So, yeah, 15 points. So, 5 from the line. So, 10 points on twos.
Yeah.
Mostly all driving the lane, which is something we really didn't... I mean, he didn't show much at Utah. Like, they didn't use him like that. So, what... Yeah, I just don't... What do we have here?
Yeah, if you'd have told me... if I hadn't watched the game tonight, and you could say, Alfonso Plummer had 24 points. Oh, he must have had 8 threes. But no. So, again, if that's... Mm-hmm. From an offensive standpoint, now if that's what you're going to get night in and night out, I mean, he's a 3-point shooter. He's going to have some nights where he goes 2 of 12 or whatever. But he, just the very threat of him on the floor, if he's that deadly of a shooter, it opens everything up. And if Kofi is a willing passer like he's been the last 2 or 3 games, again, with the style of play you saw us roll with tonight, that is a very potent offense.
Yeah. I mean, I have this thought tonight, like, man, we were raining threes. 12 of 33 from, I mean, it's not that great.
We rained 6%. What was the first half?
Let's see.
We were raining in the first half, like 9 of 20 or something, wasn't it? That's when the game was won.
Yeah, 6 of 15 in the second. Where's the first
half? There were some garbage time threes that were going up late in that second half that were, you know, kind of bad shots. And
yes, first half box for Illinois, that was 6 of 18.
Really? I thought we
Yeah,
were...
so that's the thing is, like, I have this thought of, like, oh, man, we watch these threes just rain from the sky and this and that. I don't know, 6 for 18.
No.
It wasn't that, like, I don't know. Like, I was fooled by tonight's game by how far out we got in front. Because it wasn't this, you know, I even tweeted that in the second half. Like, you know, at one point, Rutgers is shooting 47% from three and Illinois shooting 34% from three. I mean, obviously, Illinois had more attempts, but, you know, you just look at that and you don't think Illinois is going to be up 35. So it's just, I don't know, it's just interesting that, I don't know, this is a game where you feel really good about how the offense played and you weren't really even raining those threes. Meaning if you were, this is, you know, this is a hundo. This is a, you know, a 3-digit number and a 5 number. So, yeah, I don't know. Everything I've seen here, everything I watch, everything just sitting there tonight was so encouraging. after what the last 2 weeks have been like.
It was extremely efficient. As you said, I mean, the whole evolution of basketball is shots at the rim, shots from the arc. And that's, we won this game where the margin was built, because you look at some of the numbers and there's a lot of similarity. I mean, like we talked about the shot volume. Rutgers had 13 offensive rebounds. We had 13 offensive rebounds. They only turned the ball over 14 times. So it wasn't like we were getting a ton more shots because of second chance opportunities or turnovers, but we were just that much more efficient on 2-point baskets because we're getting them close to the rim. There were a couple mid-range shots, but most of our, I would be willing to bet that a shot chart's going to be a very positive looking shot chart where you're going to see shots from the arc and you're going to see shots right around the rim. And that's what this team can be offensively. In the style of play that we've seen over the last couple of games.
Just Kofi's first ever game where he had more assists than turnovers? Had to be.
Well, he only had 5 assists all of last year. So.
Right. Two assists, one turnover.
And he was giving Jacob Grandison the business for missing the shot on. There was a play, a sequence where the ball goes into Kofi, and Kofi kicked it right back out to Grandison. Kofi reposts, Grandison back into him, then back out to Grandison again, and Grandison missed a mid-range jump shot on that one. Yep. And Kofi was giving him the business about robbing him of an assist.
So. Right. Okay, so let's talk about, you know, by the way, what is, you have Purdue-Iowa score over there?
Yeah, it's 68-54. It was close for a bit, but Purdue's starting to pull away now.
Okay, so we go to Iowa.
Yep.
God, it would feel so good to just be 2-0 in the Big Ten through the rest of the month.
I don't think Trent or DeMonte have won at Iowa, or Kofi. I don't think anybody on this roster has won at Iowa.
Yes. Last time we were at Iowa was the Chin Coleman almost get in a fight, and yes. Fran calls off the handshake line and sends everybody out.
Yes.
I'm going to be in the building so angry at everything I see.
You spent way too much time in Iowa recently.
Oh, my God. Yes. I'm trying to convince Carmen to go with me. So he would, like, you know, I'm going to do the press box thing, and he would just be sitting in the stands by himself.
Oh, that's not a good idea.
His question for me was, where's your hotel room? Because he doesn't want to stay within Iowa City because just the thought of it turns his stomach so much, he just can't do it.
That's an impressive commitment.
Yes. God, I just, you know, like I had maybe resigned myself to, okay, fine. Cabello's out. December's going to be a mess. We're going to go 1-1 in these Big Ten games. We're going to lose at Iowa. We might lose to Arizona as well. You know, just, okay, let's just get through it and get to January and then take these lumps and make them mean something in the future. After tonight, I'm like, okay, let's get Iowa.
Greedy, right?
Yes. They've gotten a boost from Murray, but like, they're still not what they were last year. They're still trying to sort it out. They're still getting minutes from here and there and trying to figure out what kind of team they are without Wieskamp and Garza. And, you know, that there, we should be able to go in there, even if Curbelo is not playing. We should be able to go in there and maybe sneak out with a win.
Well, Keegan Murray didn't play tonight with an injury, so I think a lot. If you play a Keegan Murray, I mean, an Iowa team without Keegan Murray, then I think you go into that game expecting to win.
Yes,
I think it was a hamstring, and he did not play tonight. So I don't know what his status will be for Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a team that would struggle offensively against us.
Yep.
So, and obviously they don't have the size, you know, that they had when they had Garza. So, you know, it becomes, like you said, you want to get greedy. And even with Keegan Murray, this is an Iowa team that going into the season, you're like, you know, you are better than Iowa. You know, it's hard for us to view this season moving forward without looking through the lens of the Marquette and the Cincinnati games, but you have to be encouraged by the last couple of games. And you know, hopefully that what we've seen there is more the rule than the exception. So
just check KenPom to see if it updated. It did.
16. Yep, I saw that.
Defense up to 22. Offense up to 21. Okay. Well, you know, that's. Again, those numbers are affected by
scoring
games
margin.
Without Kofi, games without you know, we didn't have Kofi for the first three games. We didn't have Trent. We haven't had Bello. We didn't have Grandison for a couple games. Basically everybody's missed at least one. So that's encouraging. These things are moving in a positive direction.
Because the first half of the Big Ten season is pretty light for us.
Very.
So.
Very.
Yeah, you got to make a little hay. I mean.
Yep. Yeah. What do we go to Minnesota, who should be probably the 14th team in the Big Ten, like finished dead last. Yeah, and then we got what?
Then a Mark Turgeon-less Maryland.
Yes,
game
that's
at the Assembly Hall. That was talk about breaking news. That was a strange day.
Uh-huh.
Then at Nebraska.
Yeah. And we go to, like, we play Maryland like twice in 2.5 weeks or something like that.
So, yeah, we open with Rutgers, Iowa, Maryland, Nebraska. And as you go into, you know, looking at the preseason, those are, except for Maryland, those were three teams who you expected to be in the lower half of the conference. Then you get to that double Michigan Purdue,
yep,
home double header, which kind of will the world of the
God,
universe will
yep,
center around those two games.
I still can't believe we play Purdue at 11 o'clock
on a Monday.
It's
bizarre.
It's just, you know, as I wrote about it, I think I put that in the preview. Like somebody on the West Coast, like my old job, we didn't have Martin Luther King Day off. I don't know if that's a Missouri thing or like it wasn't a holiday for my old work. So I would, like, 2 years ago, I would have been at work at 11 a.m. tuning into an Illini game. It's just 11 o'clock on a Monday. It's going to feel like a game of
that magnitude,
yes,
too.
Yes. Like, say we get on a roll and we use this schedule, you know, Nebraska, Maryland twice, Minnesota. Say we get on a roll and it's something like number 9 Illinois against number 2 Purdue or something. To have that game going off on a Monday at 11 a.m. is, you know, you're on the West Coast, you wake up at 9 a.m., you're going to breakfast to watch the Illini game on a Monday.
If you were vacationing in Hawaii, you'd have to get up at like 6 a.m.
Yes, it's just so bizarre.
And here we are talking about how we expect to go into Iowa and dominate that team. And they've cut that 68-54. It's now 70-66. They're within 4 with 3 minutes left.
Are you serious?
Mackey. Yes. I'm just kind of following this on my phone as we're watching this.
Okay. Let's talk this out then as this is, you know, happening live.
Patrick McCaffrey.
Oh God. There's not any more McCaffreys, are there?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay. So Iowa would be undefeated with a win over number 2. So if, say, they do come back and win this year, it'd be what, 8?
That's scary.
12?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, they would, obviously, they would.
They'd be undefeated. They just beat Virginia, who isn't that good, but they just beat Virginia, and they would beat number 2. Pollsters are going to be like, well, we got to put them with Purdue. We're going to move Purdue down to 9.
Pollsters might see that score and add them into the mix anyway.
Yes.
So, yeah.
I kind of like that.
We just talked ourselves into
now. Okay, now
expected
I want
to win into a surefire.
Well, now I want Iowa to win because they're not going to be. They're not the number 8 team in the country. But if they win this, they would be, and I really want to play them the
classic
game.
Classic letdown.
Yes, 100%. Go, I can't do it. okay, so before the season, you were 15-5 in the Big Ten.
Yeah. I can't back off that now, but
right after the 3-2 start. Okay, so 10 minutes into the second half of UTRGV, I'm guessing you wouldn't have said yes, 15-5 in the Big Ten. How close have we come to getting back to that with these two games?
That's a really good question, and I hedged all bets after the UTRGV. So, speaking of that, as he walks away.
You're not supposed to say that. This is good radio.
Well, I was going to go into a segue about what I learned about that game is that it was actually, UTRGV is actually the old Texas Pan American, which was Lon Kruger's first head coaching stint.
I'm learning this
right now. I learned that right before I was doing some SID pregame packet perusing before that game. I'm like, oh, that's where that team came from. So it's Texas Pan America. So anyway,
play them a
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
Because I had made jokes about, you know, University of the Alphabet.
Wait,
but
didn't we play them when we were like a one seed? Didn't we play them in the tournament once?
That I don't know.
Okay, now I gotta look this up.
Yes, but so
I'll look this up.
What after that game, they must have taken a point off the board, like a 2-3, because now it went from 70-66 to 70-65, which seems odd. But maybe they penalized Iowa for just general.
Yes. We are taking a point away from Iowa for being Iowa.
Just on general.
General Iowa-ness.
Yes.
1 point deducted.
Yes. So the category of my, or the title of my postgame article after that UTRGV game was weird, because I didn't know how to assess anything. It's just impossible to have any sense of what this team was going to be based on the start with Curbelo and his struggles at Marquette and Cincinnati, and then all the injuries and the flu bug. And so I obviously that team that night was a sub 500 Big Ten team. The team we saw tonight was, you know, that's a solid 13-14 win team. So I still think that even with the potential difficulties of reintegrating Curbelo back into the lineup, that there is enough talent, there's enough shooting on the floor. My gosh, how long have I wanted shooters to surround the big man with to be a upper division Big Ten team. Now, obviously, you know, Michigan's down. Who knows what's going to happen with Maryland now that Turgeon's out. Michigan State looks better than we thought. Iowa looks better than we thought. Purdue's obviously, you know, depending on this outcome, it's 70-68 now. But the Big Ten seems very odd right now. So do I think that we'll get to double-digit wins? Yes. Because I do think that what you saw tonight is repeatable. The players that we are driving this recent stretch of, you know, oh, we're shooting 43% from three over the last several games. That can't last. Well, you can. It kind of can, because you have numbers to back that up. You have Grandison, you have Frazier, you have DeMonte, you have Plummer. These are players who have all shot in the high 30s, low 40s for their careers. So if that holds true on most nights, then this becomes a very potent team. And I keep saying that, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm.
So back to your question. Yes. Yeah. 15 wins. No. The team I saw tonight is a 13 win Big Ten team.
Yes. Yes. Add Curbelo in properly. Add him in a positive way, and not a, we have to start over here, and maybe, you know, well, we'll see. Okay, I'm pulling up the game here. This is going to be fantastic audio. You and I are going to sit here and talk about Illinois while watching the end of.
So it was 68-54 when you asked me the question. So that means that since we said that, it's been a 14-2 run for Iowa. That's at Mackey. That's impressive.
Okay, Purdue's at the line.
Wow.
Can you see it? Here, I'm going to go all the way on the end here.
I can see that.
Volume.
Oh. So.
Seriously, I'm just going to let this play, and we're going to watch this, and we're going to talk. I don't care if it's bad audio, and I can chop it out later if this is lame. Oh, O'Leary's getting involved.
Yeah.
And I couldn't see who the other ref was.
Yeah, we did have some Bo Borowski theater tonight. That's always a fun adventure.
Oh God, was that Pfeiffer? Anyway, doesn't matter. Yeah, how is this? What? I don't even know what Iowa's. On Iowa? Who?
Fran.
Oh, wait. Murray is playing?
That's his twin brother, Chris Murray.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
I need to learn my Big Ten. Okay, how is Iowa any good? Like, what? Okay, so they got both McCaffreys.
Yeah, looking at the box score, and this is not one of those games. Well, maybe Jordan Bohannon's had like seven threes. He's got 4 points.
Okay.
You've got one of them, McCaffrey's with 15. You've got Keegan Murray's brother, Chris, with 12. And you've got somebody named Perkins, who I've never heard of, with 14. So
Perkins?
So maybe Purdue.
I
mean,
I got to look up.
The last 3 weeks of college basketball have been
quite
entertaining.
Yes.
From a media standpoint. Because 3 weeks ago, Gonzaga was the greatest team in the history of college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And then 1 week later, Duke beats Gonzaga. And now Duke is the greatest team in the history of college basketball.
And then there's Ohio State.
And now it's Purdue is the greatest team in college basketball.
Yes.
And here's Purdue getting taken to the wire in their own building by an Iowa team missing their leading scorer.
I'm shocked that I don't have a text from Carmen right now.
Yeah.
Because, like, Carmen is anti-Purdue. Like, Carmen has taken it to this level of, like, not only is Purdue a sham and a farce and going to fall in the first round, like, he has this view of Purdue that Ivy isn't what he's cracked up to be, and they're just going to be this tremendous meltdown kind of program.
So if he was watching this game right now, who would he be rooting for? Or would he be...
Oh, good point. He's not watching. There's no way he's watching. Yeah, that's the thing. Purdue doesn't really have a lead. Like, they don't have... Like, is Hunter the starting point guard?
They had an interesting article in the Athletic today, kind of a film breakdown of Purdue, how they don't really have a point guard, to your point.
Yep.
They don't do ball screens. Yep. They work everything inside out.
Yep.
Which is exactly what we're going to be doing in the near future here. So what you're probably watching with Purdue is a similar situation to what we're going to have going on. The difference is that Trevion Williams is a really good passer out of the post. Yep. Kofi's not there yet, but
that's going to be a fascinating matchup on a Monday at 11 a.m. Let's see. Tony Perkins, sophomore out of Indianapolis. Played in 7 games, or played 6 minutes a game last year. Oh, they're going to review that. Oh, look at them.
Wow, Iowa had their chances. They got to. They've had a couple of opportunities here.
Yeah, Tony Perkins, 8.3 points a game this year.
Oh, okay, well.
How did I not, I'm going to look at his games last year. Did he even play against us? Where's the game log? There it is. I mean, this is are there awards for podcasts? Because what we're doing right now is probably going to get us a Webby. Watching a game on our computer while I look at stats and people are trying to listen to us talk about Illinois basketball. Gosh, yeah. Perkins had 15 one game, then 15, then 10. Well, all right.
We got Steve Bardo on the call, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so who's Purdue? Is Hunter their starting point? Did I ask that?
Yeah, they don't really have a true point. I would think Stefanovic might do as much ball handling as anybody for them.
Yep.
But.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's Purdue up 4 with the ball at home. I think the. The win percentage is going to lean slant heavily in favor of Purdue right now.
Yep.
But
okay, so
it was fun while it lasted, though.
I mean, Iowa, I had them, what do we have, 10th in the Big Ten? I kind of hate that they're actually good. This means they're actually good. To do this without Murray. I don't like this. I don't like this.
You turn it on.
I know.
They're still going to have. This is still one of those games where you're expending a lot of emotional energy in a game like this.
Yes.
So
okay, that's what we're going to take away from this. A, Purdue is not the dominant force.
They're vulnerable.
Purdue is vulnerable, and B,
Iowa's better than we thought.
Well, but they may be better than they thought, but they are let's go to six overtimes here. They will be spent. They will still be in tears on Monday night, and we can find some way to win that.
Although I think it might be a bit of a fool's errand to make so many grand proclamations over after one Big Ten game. This is the first night. This is literally the opening night of Big Ten basketball, and we've rearranged our entire.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. That was off by 4 feet.
What's going on, Perkins? We were just talking you up.
Yeah, Perkins.
We literally lit you up, and now that's going to do it.
Yep, that'll do it. 17. Right. Okay.
That was riveting. Podcast history right there.
Riveting stuff. I like the part where I went over and I got a port of glass of apple cider.
Right when I was getting ready to tell you my Texas Pan American story.
Yes, so, and I totally threw you off. Mentally by walking away from the table we're sitting at.
So now what I want to do, though, is now I want to do a podcast where we pick one random Big Ten game and we watch it together.
Love it. It's like the rewatchables, but oh, wait, we could rewatch it. You want to pull up Metro State, Illinois here?
I need to.
I'll call Kent, get it out of the archives.
Yes.
You and I will watch it, and we'll see where you had an opportunity to foul somebody and get in the scoreboard.
I'll bet WCIA has a VCR tape of that game somewhere. Yeah. Three possession game. Yeah. This game's over.
Yeah.
Thanks for playing, Iowa.
Now it's going to be like they're going to foul again. It's going to finish like 79-70 or something. Yep. What is happening? Iowa, you better shoot.
Oh. Yeah, it's going to look like it was going to be not going to get to double digits, but.
Yeah. 79-70 looks a lot better than when it was whatever, right. 70-68. Okay.
Well, I like our 33 or 35 point win over Rutgers better than the 7-point Purdue win over Iowa. So
that's right. So obviously we're winning the Big Ten again.
Yeah,
I'm glad we figured this out.
Yeah, in the core, I went. What did I say? 13 wins. What I meant was 17 wins.
That's right. Okay, so if we're gonna go 17-3, that's a one seed. How far can we go? Yeah, right. I don't know. Like, I still haven't written about tonight, but I feel like I know what I'm going to write about, which will already be up before this podcast gets up. But, you know, just in my feelings toward this, like, I just really needed this. You know, the last 3 weeks,
I think
have been,
the entire fan base needed something like this to see that.
Yes. Yes. Like the nervous energy. So I sat in the crowd. Well, you know this. I mean, you were, you know, I sat in the crowd for UGR-TV. Wait. UTRGV. I didn't think about that part of it.
Yeah.
Purdue headed to number one.
For the first time in school history. How about that? That's shocking to me.
Okay. Now I got to look up their schedule. Are we going to knock them out of it? Okay. Purdue schedule.
But yes, as you're looking that up, I was... This game alleviates a lot of fears.
Yes.
I mean, there was a, you know, Illini Twitter is always a special place, but there was a palpable sense of dread going into the Notre Dame game that, and a lot of that was due because I don't think people thought that Trent Frazier was going to play, but I saw a lot of Notre Dame victory predictions from Illini Twitter. So you get back-to-back double-digit wins. You know, you're controlling that game really from start to finish. You're up 16. You kind of falter a little bit down the stretch, but and this tonight is a dominant performance, kind of similar to the Minnesota opening to the opener to the Big Ten last year. Maybe we are getting some comps here. You know, even last year, you know, one thing I've learned as a fan and a faux quasi analyst of Illinois sports is not to put too much stock into short little windows of time, whether it's during a game.
Yep.
You know, we've all seen games where we've been up 20 and given up the lead. We've all seen games where we've been down 20 and come back to a game. We've just last season, we were 9-5. Mm-hmm. And I remember how down everyone was after the Missouri game last year. And, you know, then you reel off what we know, 16 out of 17 or whatever it was.
Yep.
And, you know what? That's the same thing in 2020. COVID always messes me up on the years. In 2019, 2020, when you're at Michigan State and you get beat by 30 and you're at right around 500. And that team found its way. You know, one thing that you've seen from Underwood over his career at Illinois is teams that have gotten better in January, I mean, in February and March, we'll say. And that's why I take such a positive view away from tonight, because maybe you're starting to see that, some of that progression, that growth that coaches like to say. It's the word that coaches always use, growth. We're seeing some growth.
Yep. And, I mean, I'm thinking of last December. I go to the game at Penn State. We're down 19-4 to begin the game. And I tweet these actual words, maybe we're just not that good. Because we had just lost to Rutgers. We already lost to Missouri? No. Yes, we had already lost to Missouri.
Yes, and we lost to Rutgers. Yeah, yes. Rutgers, you said. Yeah.
Lost to Missouri, lost to Rutgers, and we're down 19-4 to Penn State. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, yeah, maybe we just miscalculated here. Maybe we got excited about the Duke game and they weren't that good. And the Ohio game should have told us what was really happening. And maybe it's just not that. You know, for the rest of that game, we beat Penn State by like 41 or whatever, you know, like we won by 20 and we were down by 15, you know, 35 point swing or however it went. And then, you know, the rocky stuff against Ohio State and Maryland. And then out of nowhere,
they found the run.
Yep. So, and Underwood has even mentioned that, like he's even said, like, I don't know what it is. My team's kind of suck at the beginning a lot. And then they find it. So,
well, you're looking for reproducible. You're not looking for a game where, oh, something out of the ordinary happened, which is why you won by 30 or 40.
Yep.
What you saw tonight was a 35-point, what was it, 86-51? What is that, 35 points? Yeah.
Yep.
A 35-point win playing a style that is reproducible on most nights. You are going to dump the ball into Kofi. He's going to either draw double teams, defense are going to collapse on him, and in the last two games, he's showing the willingness to pass. Once that happens, the defense it's impossible to recover. You're going to get, if you keep making that extra pass, you're going to find an open guy, and you're going to get looks from three, and we've got good three-point shooters. If teams don't choose to collapse, as they say, you know what? Three is more than two. I can do some math. We're going to live or die with Kofi. Well, good luck with that too, because he's going to put 30 and 10 on you. Most nights, you know, you're not gonna stop Kofi with single coverage. He's gonna get whatever he wants. So that to me is reproducible basketball.
Yeah.
On offense.
Yep.
If you can, then obviously the defense was huge tonight. And if you can start, you know, you get Colin Hawkins, who's showing growth. There's that word again. Mm-hmm. You know, he was great on the ball against Ron Harper. I mean, physically that's a good matchup. But I also, you know, scouting reports was Coleman Hawkins. That's the thing. In the press conference after the game tonight, Underwood literally smacked his fist together when asked about how him and Coleman have evolved there over this season in trying to get Coleman to buy into what they do. And so, you know, it's clearly been a struggle from that standpoint. But he, you know, seeing him close out with hands up and quick feet as opposed to flying at the ball, staying home on the weak side when his man is floating around on the perimeter. You know, that didn't happen as recently against Notre Dame. Tonight it happened. Mm-hmm. So if you can start reproducing that on defense too, now you're talking, right?
Yep. I think we should end with that, because I think you said it all there. Like,
isn't there another game to watch? Can't we watch like the Pac-10 championship game?
Okay, it's a 2.5 hour podcast of us watching stuff on my laptop while I pour glasses of apple cider.
Well, and before you get too far, since we did get distracted, the Purdue schedule, they have some potential pitfalls on the way. They go at Rutgers. Mm-hmm. They got a game against North Carolina State. They got Butler. And then they do go at Michigan before they come to Illinois too. So there's some potential.
And they have Wisconsin.
Wisconsin at home too, yeah. So yeah, there's a loss in there somewhere.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think they're get to January 17th with zero, you know, staying at number one for 4 weeks. They better not be that good, because I can't handle that world.
Hmm.
Okay.
Right.
All right. Good. We went almost exactly an hour here, and we have figured out life, and we're back on track, and we're going to take deep breaths, and we're going to be patient, and we know there's some bumps ahead, but we know that maybe the team on February 1st, with Curbelo fit back into this, and with Trent healthy, and with Kofi dominating, and with Grandison the Swiss Army knife, and with Trent being Trent, that we should be able to piece something together that's really, really rolling by February and March.
But let's win two more games this week.
Okay.
I mean, Iowa and Arizona, those are pretty marquee games, especially the Arizona game, which I'm really looking forward to.
If we can beat Iowa on Monday, I'm going to walk out of that place. Like, I'm going to, you know, I might break the no cheering from press row rule because that would feel really, really good to start the Big Ten 2-0.
Right.
Okay, that's it. Go Illini.
ILL.